Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. And today, we're joined by the former two-weight Muay Thai One Championship champion. He won the belt in bantamweight, defended that one. He won the flyweight belt. He's the current one bantamweight kickboxing world champion. He's defending that at 171 against Wei Ray. Former simultaneous double sport champion. Please welcome to the show, Jonathan the General Haggerty. How you doing, mate?
Thank you, bro. Appreciate the introduction. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good, mate. Thanks for coming on today. Jonathan, I want to ask you, with the two sports and the two divisions, which one do you think is more important for you, the two sports or the two weight classes in Muay Thai?
They both pretty mean a lot to me, but I'd say the two division. Couldn't really tell you, if I'm honest. They both mean a lot. Actually, I'd say that the two sport, you know, because it's across all disciplines, kickboxing and Muay Thai, and to be crowned both champion at both is quite a big thing. So I'd say, yeah, the two sport.
Jonathan, you said that what defines you is how well you rise after falling. So I want to ask you, where do you go mentally to get back to where you were and get even further after setbacks?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said it was all me and all down to me, but obviously I've got the best coach in the world, Christian Knowles. I've got the best team around me. I've got a great girlfriend. I've got a great family that get behind me. So it's a team effort, you know. When I'm down, they all pick me up. And then we get back to the drawing board and we tell ourselves, you're the best in the world. You can go, you've lost it before, and you can go and get it again. So that was the mentality of this one. So we're here to defend the belt now, and we're excited for it.
Definitely, mate. So in my opinion, I think that what really showed the championship spirit for you, the loss to Rod Tang and then the streak after it. So I want to ask you, for the people listening to the pod right now, what would you tell people if they have a problem or a failure in their life? What advice do you have for them to get back on the horse and to grind even harder?
I mean, some people take a loss to heart, you know. It hit me quite hard, that loss. I took it to heart myself. But what I've learned from that is, and what I can tell people, you know, you don't lose, you learn. That's one of my best sayings, you don't lose, you learn. It's just a small bump in the road, and it's up to you to make the rights and get on with it, you know, grit your teeth, get on with it. And if you want to be somewhere in life and you want to be at the top, you can be there. All you've got to do is believe and work hard. So that's what it takes.
You also wrote that you said, behind every brilliant performance, there were countless hours of practice, hard work and preparation. So what stint of your career or era of your career would you say you worked the hardest, you put the most amount of hours in?
Every fight camp, I put 100% in it, every fight camp. Whether there's a small bump in the road in fight camp, I try and work my way around it. Me and the team, we work around it. I'd say the Super League fight camp, when I'd done about 13 weeks, went to Denver a month before everybody else, was up in the Red Rocks, running the mountains, etc. I mean, that was a grueling fight camp. We knew we was up for a hard challenge, so we put ourselves out there and we trained to the best of our ability and the hardest that we could ever train. Obviously didn't pay off, things happened for a reason, and now we're here now. So I've learned a lot from that fight. So I'm going to take all the skill sets that I've done in that fight camp, bring them over to this fight camp, and bring them over to Ray Way.
Do you think that when you were researching Superlek before that fight, did you think that he was probably the best opponent that you were going to fight? Or do you still think that there's holes there that if you were to get back, you would be able to exploit?
Yeah, 100%. I'd say Superlek is probably the best opponent that I would have faced at the time. We thought we had his number. We just rushed a little bit in the fight, if I'm honest. We knew we was fitter than him. We were stronger than him. We was faster than him. And we just got a little bit too eager and a little bit too carried away. We thought we hurt him in the first, like, 30 seconds with a hook. And then, I just went in for the kill. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. Sometimes you're the nail and sometimes you're the hammer. This time we was the nail. So good on him, and hope to meet him soon in the future.
Jonathan, do you want Fabricio's MMA belt still?
100%.
So what's the obsession with MMA being the final destination? You know, you and Freddie, you go into Muay Thai, you've gone kickboxing, but there's always that lingering thing there that MMA is the final destination, and you've always known that. So where does that come from?
I mean, I've always thought it. I've grown up in an MMA gym with MMA people around me. My dad was an MMA fighter, and like, I would have loved to have had an MMA fight already, but obviously I've been busy in the divisions. I've had title defenses, I've had title fights, I've had main events, I've had big fights. So everything, I think MMA's just been on a back burner for now. If everything went quiet, there was no title defenses, I think I definitely would have had an MMA fight. But my goal is to defend the belts as much as possible, and obviously now to try and get the Muay Thai belt back. But if the offer comes, we'll take it.
Your dad did MMA. I know you were training with, and you still are, with Christian. So what was his reaction when you ended up choosing to go into Muay Thai? Did he want you to go to Muay Thai, or did he want you to go to MMA first?
Yeah, he was the one that pushed me into the Muay Thai. So he's a good friend. His son was doing Muay Thai. So then my dad's friend said, why don't you get your son into it? So then my dad just pushed me into Muay Thai, which I'm very thankful for. And ever since then, I've just stuck up Muay Thai. But he's always said as well, like, MMA is the way forward. So yeah, who knows?
With your next opponent for your kickboxing now is Wei Ray. His record 70-3. He's a southpaw. He's a Sanda fighter as well, so it's a little bit different. What can you tell me about Wei Ray in comparison to all these legends that you fought, Sam A, Rod Tang, Superlek? Where would you rank Wei Ray, and why do you feel like he's really important for your kickboxing legacy?
Yeah, Wei Ray is a well-credible opponent, you know. It's an honour to share the ring with him. His record's great, 70-3. It's a great record, a better record than mine. So, yeah, he's obviously the number one for a reason. He's beat Akimoto. We're not taking him lightly. We're training as hard as we possibly can for him. We know he's a southpaw, like you said. He brings the heat. I just feel like the people that I've fought prior to him have just been a little bit more, the caliber a little bit higher, if you know what I mean. They've had 300 fights, etc. They've seen every style. They're the legends of the sport. Not taking anything away from Wei Ray. I believe he's an incredible opponent, and I'm just excited to see what he brings and give the fans what they deserve, and that's a great fight.
When I watched his fight with Akimoto, and I saw, you know, Mitch Chilson talk about the Sanda style, seeing that you've had your whole legacy in Muay Thai, and the Sanda style is a little bit more flippy, you know, there's spin kicks and crescent kicks, different shit like that. Do you feel like Sanda can cause any issues to your style, or do you think that with your Muay Thai background in this kickboxing fight, do you feel like you'll have an advantage?
If I'm totally honest, with the mindset I've got right now, I don't think it's going to affect me. You know, I feel like I'm going to go in there, I'm going to do what I do. Hopefully it's not a repeat of the last fight, but I'm going to go in there, I'm going to have my wits about me. We know what he brings, like you said, the spinning stuff. So it's up to us to keep our mind in the game and stay sharp for five rounds, if it goes five rounds. So, yeah, we just need to keep our eye on the game and be 100% at all times and don't take our eye off it. And we'll be great.
From terms of enjoyment, what would you rank kickboxing compared to Muay Thai? I know you love Muay Thai, but you've also got kickboxing where you're not allowed the knees as much, you know, the clinch and the elbows. So let me know, how much do you like kickboxing compared to your sport Muay Thai?
I mean, I love Muay Thai. I love the elbows, you know, getting in there. Not been on the receiving end of them, but throwing out elbows is a great feeling, you know, especially when you land it. It's a little bit violent. It seemed a little bit violent, but it's a buzz, you know. But the last kickboxing fight I had, I enjoyed it quite a lot. I told my coach I actually liked it. You don't have to worry about the elbows. You can just throw your combinations and then you can stay in the pocket and you don't have to worry about like an elbow coming through the guard. With the Muay Thai, you need to be more alert. You need to be like more game face, because if an elbow hits you on the head, you can't show that you're hurt. So I'd say it's a hard one. Kickboxing might be a little bit more enjoyable because you can get stuck in a little bit more and don't have to worry about the elbows.
Jonathan, in fighting, we've seen a lot of growth and change in your own character. So, how do you feel the combat sports and fighting changed you as a person?
Yeah, the discipline. The main thing is the discipline, and the dedication. I put myself through some hard fight camps. I put myself through some hard fights. It's been very humbling to fight these great opponents. I think I'm the best in the world, but then coming up against these guys, the likes of Super Lek, it just gives you a little bit more of a humbling. Like, you do need to keep training hard as possible. And there's one thing I always say: you never stop learning in this game. It doesn't matter how good you are, how much accolades you've got, how what belts you have, you never stop learning. And if you can never stop learning, then you're gonna be one of the best. If you feel like you've got that mentality where you can't learn anything else, then you're only gonna go down and down and down. Make sure you're open-minded as well is a big thing as well.
You know how the sport, as much as it's brutal and the training's rigorous, do you feel like that brutality and the hard part about the discipline and the sport, do you feel like that brought you fulfillment in your life?
Yeah, 100%. Having a broken nose in like my second fight in one championship, it helped me a lot. But yeah, I've had some tough fights, and it's like it makes you train as hard as possible because you've been in a fight before and it's been hard in there. You've had your nose broke, you've had elbows, you've not come out lightly. So the next fight you're gonna train as hard as you possibly can to not get them elbows again. So yeah, I've enjoyed the journey, let's just say that. I've enjoyed the fights, I've enjoyed the journey, and I'm very grateful.
Do you feel like a modern day gladiator?
I'm not too sure. I just feel like I'm myself, and I feel like people look at me as if to think like this guy's an absolute machine, he's a savage. Well, like, if you see me in training, when I'm on the pads, obviously I'm going for it, but I'm around with my girlfriend in the gym, I'm cracking jokes. I'm just a normal person at the end of the day, but as soon as that bell rings, you could call me a gladiator, yeah.
With all the fighters that I've spoken to, I spoke to Lerdzilla in person as well, and he said that, he was always learning, coming up with new stuff. You say you're always learning. So, do you feel, even though you're at a point in your career where you're at the elite level, do you feel like you've achieved mastery in the sport of Muay Thai and striking, or is there more to be done? Because from my opinion and what you've said, I feel like for you, you hold yourself to a high regard and there's more that you want to work on.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like I have reached the pinnacle in Muay Thai. I've won the one championship world title, and I've won the kickboxing world title, and I think that's the pinnacle of the sport right now for striking one championship. Obviously, on my mind, it's defense, title defenses. It's one thing being a champion, but there's one thing staying a champion, and staying a champion and keep defending your belt is the goal for me. And I think the next step is to win the MMA world title, and then I've completed it.
If you were to kind of give me the main qualities of an ideal fighter from your perspective, what would you say are the key characteristics that make an ideal fighter?
Dedication, the will to learn, the will to win. You need the biggest muscle, and that's the heart. You can't teach heart. You need the skills. I think the main one here, I think, is just like the hard work and dedication.
How do you get the heart?
You need to test yourself, Test yourself, push yourself to the limits, and try not to break. I've been in there with the likes of Lobo. I've been dropped in round one, and I thought to myself, ah, damn it, it's going to be a long night. Got myself back up on my feet, And I told myself, why are you doing this? Get on with it. You know, get on with it as if everyone's watching you. You've got your dad in your corner. You know, just get on with it, really. So you need heart for sure. It's a dangerous sport.
When I was doing my research, one thing that kind of came to mind was who can beat someone who's already conquered themselves? So I want to ask you, do you believe it's more important to conquer yourself when fighting an opponent instead of conquering the person in front of you?
You know, the biggest competition is yourself, and if you can beat yourself, then you can beat anyone in the world. But I just try and stay in my own lane and work as hard as I possibly can. Train for every fighter. Don't underestimate any fighter, and just be the best that you can be.
Jonathan, I want to get your gauge from it, seeing that you already had the belt. So there's so many different titles out there. You know, you got the Raja Damnam, you got the Omnoy, you got the Channel 7, and the Lumpini title. So now one championship solidified themselves with all this great talent, and you guys do the 4 ounce gloves. So where would you rank one championship's Muay Thai compared to all of Thailand's Muay Thai right now?
I mean, it depends. You know, you got the Raja. It's traditional Muay Thai, 5 rounds, boxing gloves. So that's strictly Muay Thai. You know, you got the one championship now. Sometimes it's 3 rounds, MMA gloves, 4 ounce gloves. It's the most brutal. One championship's the most brutal, the most fun. I was there ringside with the Rotang Superleg fight. The whole card was electric. You know, the Lumpini Stadium, it just sounded like a massive football stadium. And the entertainment was second to none. You know, if you're in Bangkok, I do advise to go and watch the One Championship, One Lumpini, or the One Championship show. It's a great atmosphere and you'll definitely enjoy it. So for entertainment, One Championship's the one for sure.
You're from the UK and you kind of like set the new generation up now for UK talent. And, you know, Chatri with one championship, with now that Muay Thai is getting so huge and they've done so much work to build the sport. What direction do you think Muay Thai is going in now with one championship?
Yeah, I feel like One Championship is doing a great thing for all us Muay Thai fighters coming up. It was no money in it, you know. It was just for the love, and like you had to sell your tickets to earn some money, and everyone was just doing it because they loved the sport. And now you've got the likes of the young generation coming through from the UK. You've got the likes of my little brother. Everyone else in the UK is a lot. There's a lot to name. All the young generation, and now they're inspired to be on One Championship, so they're training hard. They're in the gym day in, day out, and it's a good thing. I love to see it, you know, the young generation training hard. And I'm just grateful that I was one of the guys to pave the way and open up the UK Muay Thai for the One Championship. So I'm very honored, and I can't wait to see all these young generation talents coming through and take over.
What I've liked to see is that even with the UK and the talent that's come out of there, I feel like Scotland now is also a rich nation with a lot of talent there as well. You know, one guy that you've sparred with, Nico Carrillo, we spoke about him. So, you know, he's been trash talking and talking about you in a competitive way to get that fight with you. Would you still fight him after the Nabil fight? And would you want that in the UK?
Yeah, 100%. You know, Nico's always been on my radar, but obviously, I've just been the champion, and One Championship would just throw me opponents that I've taken. But 100%, I'd love that fight, even though he's moved up to featherweight. Scotland's got some great fighters, the likes of Steve Irwin. You've got Amy Purney, so they're coming through. They're a force to be reckoned with, and all the best to them.
What were your opinions on the Nabil fight? Did you see that coming?
I actually did. I actually see it coming, you know. I feel like Nico underestimated him a lot. I feel like fight week, Nico focused on me way too much, you know, fight week. I was in the sauna with him. He was telling me he would never get knocked out in round one the way I did. I just told him, like, listen, focus on your fight, focus on the bill. Never say never. And, you know, look what's happened. I just put it down to karma. But I hope he, recovers well, and I hope he does well in the featherweight division.
as we were talking about, you know, your career and you being specifically in the UK, the reason I bring this up is that your success has shown that it can actually be done because it wasn't done beforehand. So now that you're from the UK beating Thais at their own game, what would you say to other people from smaller nations, smaller camps that want to compete with the Thais? What would you say to them that you did?
Go in there fearless, you know. Let them know that you're there to beat them. No respect, you know. Obviously, respect before the fight, but once you touch gloves, or once, even before the fight, you know, the weigh-in, you look in their eyes and you just let them know that you're there to take that belt and you're there to win. So go in there fearless. Don't underestimate yourself, you know. Go in there, put hard work in training, put trust in your coach, and just go in there, man. You've got nothing to lose. You've got nothing to lose. Look what happened to me against Sam, eh? I think I had about 5% chance of winning that fight. I went in there with nothing to lose. Came out the champ. So let's go, UK.
With your team systems, I know that we spoke about your coach a lot, Christian Knowles. So what can you tell me about his systems? How has he been able to have you as a pupil and build you as a fighter?
And Christian knows, I can't even explain. This guy, he makes everything seem possible. You know, when you're down in the dumps, he picks you up, he lets you know you're the best in the world. You know, I'll be sitting in bed, 12 o'clock, I'll get a message, who's the best in the world? And he makes me tell me, well, I have to go, I am, you know. He's so motivational, and he's a great coach. He's like a second father to me. Without him, I don't think there would have been a champion like myself, if I'm totally honest. We gel so well together, and I'm just very thankful I found him in a coach. So, yeah.
When I researched you and I was trying to figure out where you did your camps, you said that your experience in Thailand was that one of the camps you did, you lost too much weight and it wasn't a good camp. You didn't enjoy it. So, can you tell me a little bit about that? What's your experiences been like training in Thailand compared to the UK?
Yeah, I think one camp I lost a lot of weight out here. Obviously, I wasn't managing it right. It's the first time doing a fight camp out here. It's hot, it's humid. And I was a little bit too skinny and I didn't really build as much muscle. But now we've got it all under control. We've been out here now for the last three or four fight. This will be the full fight camp. The last fight camps have been great. We've done Nongo, Lobo. We've done Andrade out here. It's just basically, you're in Thailand and all you got to do is fly 1 hour over to Bangkok and you're at your fight, you know, instead of flying all the way from the UK that week all the way to Bangkok. It's just a little bit hard. And in here as well, like in Thailand, I've got everything I need around me in just like literally 5 minutes. At home in the UK, it takes me about an hour and 20 minutes to get to training, hour and 20 minutes back on a train. It's just not really that motivating. I've got everything here and it's perfect. Let's put it that way.
When I had Freddie on the show, I specifically spoke to him about Jack and Lamai. So when was the first time you started working with the guys at Lamai and then you brought Freddie in after?
So yeah, I've been coming to it used to be called WMC. Now it's called Lamai Muay Thai. I've been coming since I was about 8 years old. My dad brought me out here first. Then I got a little bit older, started coming out on my own, and then I decided to team up with Lamai. Obviously, Ralph, he's like another father to me. He's absolutely unbelievable. Jack took me under his wing when Christian wasn't able to come out and train me. Jack took me under his wing, trained me. Great coach. And now he's took Freddie under his wing as well when Freddie comes out here, and them two gel so well together. And I'm very thankful that we found Lamai Muay Thai. And, yeah.
What was it like cornering Freddie? I saw that you got excited.
Yeah, it was. You know what it is? It's like I have no control. Normally it's me in control in there fighting and I have the control. But to be on the other hand and have no control, it's your little brother going in there. It was just like, I feel like I was just shouting instructions, just like, go for it, just do it. Like, not like strategic instructions, but it was coming from the heart. And he heard me. And he went forward and he nearly got the win, if I'm honest. One more round. I know you can't say that, but one more round. It may have been a stoppage, but I'm proud of him. Even though he lost, he won in my eyes. He won a lot of heart. So, yeah.
When I was watching it, I thought that if he started a little bit earlier compared to how he did it in the final round, when he showed his ability and the body shots started coming in, the way he was striking the final round looked like his actual game, and the first round didn't really look like it. Now, I think that he can learn from that and level up, but do you think that if he started how he ended, do you think that he would have won that fight?
Yeah, 100%. But do you know what it was? He was a little bit weary of the opponent. You know, he was a great opponent. It was a bit unorthodox. It was Freddie's first time at flyweight. He didn't know what the power was like. So I feel like he was just being a little bit standoffish. But yeah, you're 100% right there. If he would have put the pressure on like he did the second and the third round, I feel like he would have got the victory for sure.
We were talking about Freddie, and you know how when I was watching your other interviews, you were talking about how you were training some of the guys that were coming up. They're like 14, 15. So who else can you tell me from the gym that we should look out for?
Yeah, so my dad's me, my dad, my younger brother, even Freddie, when he's in fight camp, he's still training people. We've got the likes of, we've got some great juniors coming through now. We've got some great juniors, the likes of Damani. He's definitely one to look out for. There's a great handful in there that like, they're like killers. They give Freddie a great spar as well, but they're just like a little bit under the radar at the moment. So they haven't really had much fights, but I think this year is the year that we let them loose, so keep an eye out for sure. Team Underground Fighters.
With your career, one thing that I've realized is that you've maintained your brain health. So even though you've had these wars and you've trained hard and you've put all these hours into sparring, how do you feel like you were able to maintain your brain and keep your senses about you, keep your brain health without deteriorating, which the sport kind of does to you?
Yeah. You know what? If I'm totally honest, I don't really spar quite a lot, if I'm honest. I think that's one of the great things that I've done in my career. I've not really had brutal spars. I haven't needed to, if I'm honest, you know, and even in the fighting, I do get into some wars sometimes, but mainly it's just hit and don't get hit. The footwork gets me out of trouble sometimes. So if anyone's listening, make sure you use your footwork. And don't get hit in the head too much.
Jonathan, why do you feel people stagnate in Muay Thai? We see a lot of guys rise up quick and then fall off. You've been able to kind of stay the long road. So why do you think people stagnate or not progress in Muay Thai?
Think one of the main thing is they let some of the losses go to their heart. You know, you can't let that happen. You know, it's not like boxing where you've got to have a clean record. You know, you're up there, you're fighting the best in the world, 4 ounce gloves. You know, if you lose, you pick yourself up. Like I said before, you don't lose, you learn. You just have to learn from it, really. And what went wrong, get back to the drawing board, get with your coach, and just stay motivated and just believe you're the best in the world and get on with it.
What do you think's your best attribute?
Mindset. The will to win and the heart.
What do you think's the hardest that you've hit someone?
What is that I've hit someone? Probably the non-o overhand right. Are we talking about in the fights or are we talking about in sparring or
You're telling me you hit some cunt with a wheel kick in
yeah,
sparring.
I'd probably say the non-o overhand right. Or the Laziri downward elbow that hit him on the top of the head, and I don't know how the hell he got back up, but props to him, man.
What do you think was the biggest changes that you've made in your training over the years? Have you made a big change?
Yes, so I'd say I wouldn't say in training, I'd say in the fights. I think the second Rotang fight was to use my footwork, and I feel like my style completely changed after that fight, you know, from orthodox to southpaw, from switching. So yeah, I'd say from the second Rotang fight, even though it was a loss, I found myself, I found the style that I wanted to use, and it's worked ever since. So for example, use that as an example, as you don't lose, you learn.
Final question I have for you today is, how do you think Jonathan Haggerty finishes Wei Ray at 1-171? What's your prediction?
I don't like to do predictions, but do you know what? I've even when I'm sleeping, I'm still like jolting, throwing shots while I'm sleeping, and I've just been visioning a stoppage in round two, if I'm totally honest. And I don't like to be like big-headed or like overconfident, but I can actually see this one, round two.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Jonathan, for your time. Is there any
Thank
final
you, brother.
remarks? Is there any final remarks you want to say to the fans at home as we wrap up the podcast today, mate?
Yeah, I just want to say a massive thank you for everyone that gets behind me. You know, it means a lot to us fighters. I want to say a massive thank you to my sponsors that have all jumped on board. And yeah, just tune in February the 20th in Qatar, ONE Championship 171. It's going to be fireworks. So let's go, brother.
Follow Jonathan Haggerty on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you all next time.
Thank you, bro.
Combatant. I'm coming for the kill.